When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Show me the one whose safety deemed such destruction. You must reunite it with its own kind.
Where?
This you must determine. The songs of eons past tell of battles between Mandalore the Great and an order of sorcerers called Jedi.
You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
Welcome to the Playlist Podcast, the weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, managing editor of the Playlist. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Mike D'Angelo and Brian Farber. How are you guys?
So good. How about you, Brian?
Very, very well. I appreciate you asking, my friend.
Great. So this week we're going to be talking about Star Wars, and more specifically, we're going to be talking about The Mandalorian. And to help us talk about the wars, as the kids say, we're going to be joined by our resident Star Wars expert, Playlist editor-in-chief and founder Rodrigo Perez. How are you doing, Rodrigo?
Good, but you can't out me like that. You can just say, I'm the Star Wars expert. Like, come on. Jeez.
Let's be real. Pull back the curtain a little bit. Rodrigo is a Star Wars fan. He may not like it all, but he can tell you specific characters from Rebels and Clone Wars and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm like almost embarrassed at this point, but yeah, I guess I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan. Although, like, I mean, it's these days a pretty love-hate thing, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe it has been for kind of a long time, actually.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to get into today, the love-hate of Star Wars. Just to set the stage, as of this recording, we're halfway through Season 2 of The Mandalorian. So now it feels like an appropriate time to dive a bit deeper into the Disney Plus series. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Did you get my Western pun?
No. Oh.
This is obviously Lucasfilm's first foray into streaming TV, so there's a lot riding on this show. But before we get to that, I want to tell you that the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes The Discourse, Be Real, The Fourth Wall, and more. And as always, if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, anywhere else you find your favorite shows. So before we get into the discussion, if you haven't been watching The Mandalorian, we will be spoiling a little bit. So just an FYI. But also, here's a quick rundown of what the show's about. The Mandalorian tells the story of a lone gunfighter character who is part of an ancient group of warriors dubbed Mandalorians. They're basically the biggest badasses in the galaxy. In the first season, we're introduced to Mando, as he's called, who's given the task of hunting down an asset and delivering it to some shady people like Werner Herzog. It's revealed that the asset is actually a child called The Child, aka Baby Yoda, who's an adorable creature that Mando doesn't want to see harmed. Long story short, the show follows Mando as he goes on adventures with Baby Yoda and tries to find a safe place for the child. The show's created by Jon Favreau. It's got a long list of good directors, including Deborah Chow, Taika Waititi, Rick Famuyiwa, Bryce Dallas Howard, and more. There's also Dave Filoni who's involved, who Rodrigo can tell us more about. He's basically the Star Wars animated guy, but the scripts are mainly credited to Favreau, so he's definitely running things. The first season got a ton of Emmy love. It was even nominated for Best Drama Series, so critics actually love it, and fans seem to be pretty jazzed about it as well. Today we're going to talk about whether or not all that love is warranted. Let's start with our overall impressions of The Mandalorian's first season and why we're excited or not excited coming into season two. So, Rodrigo, how about you start us off? Were you impressed by season one?
A little bit, sort of not really. I mean, here's the thing. It's kind of undeniably entertaining for the most part, but it's sort of just it's getting to diminishing returns as it keeps going, because I mean, as I like to describe the show as bonanza in space. So like bonanza was like as far as I recall, I can't remember the Bonanza for a long time, but it was a Western from, I believe, the 60s. I think I watched it as a kid here and there and reruns. But it was so like, you know, like, you know, there's a town and it's a whatever, some, you know, a Western town, and different people come into town each week and kind of mess with the sheriffs and stuff like that. And so it's like a different guest star each week, which is kind of like, I mean, think about like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That was the formula of a lot of old school television, right? It's like you had the whatever it is show, and then you'd have like the guest star, like in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Leonardo DiCaprio plays a guest star and he plays a bad guy that he comes on. And remember, that's a big thing. It's like, do I want to get into that? It's a whole like tier of like not very good casting to get into. And so it's kind of reverse Bonanza, where Bonanza would be the town and new villains would come into town every week. This is the kind of reverse. It's like him on the horse who rides around and goes to a different town or a different planet with a new guest star each week, which is, I suppose, you know, people will say, well, that's from like, you know, a lot of the samurai, the films where, like, you know, the samurai's wandering around and, you know, meets these people or gets into this adventures or whatever. And yeah, that's true as well. But like, it just reminds me of Bonanza because it's just super episodic. Like, nothing happens. There's no plot. There's very little story. And, you know, we can get into that, but there's a big difference between story and plot. And like, it's kind of like someone called it on Twitter, like Star Wars porn. You just like, it's cool to see all these Star Wars things that you might not normally see. And people get excited by seeing nooks and crannies of Star Wars that we haven't really seen before. But at the end of the day, it just, when it all starts to take shape, it's like, yeah, we have seen this before. It's like, okay, a little bit of like a Star Wars Western sort of lone samurai thing at first. Okay, that's different. Haven't seen that before. But as it goes on, and, you know, we're now into about halfway of season two, it's like really in its formula. It's really Bonanza. Like, okay, we go to this planet and then these guest stars. And I remember these guys that we saw in episode two. Now they're back on episode eight and, you know, da 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 da. And it's like, the thing about The Mandalorian, it's built on an incredible premise, I think. And it's similar to, you know, we've seen this kind of trope before, but think about it, you know, especially in the very first moments of when you first saw that show and you didn't know anything about it and you didn't know what it was going to be like. It's like, okay, this is like a really ruthless bounty hunter guy, and he lives by a code and he kills and he doesn't give a fuck. And, you know, you might be begging for your mercy or whatever, but he doesn't care. He's like, he's a cold, ruthless motherfucker, because that's what they all are. They're bounty hunters. This is what they do for a living. And so in that first episode, it really feels like, wow, like, you know, this is kind of hardcore. It feels dark, you know, some of the things that happens, like, you know, these aren't heroes here. These are kind of anti-heroes. And then so we get the sort of build up the core of this character. This, who he is. He's, and, you know, these bounty hunters live by a code. And at the very end of the episode, you know, he's probably been doing this for most of his life, or a good long chunk of it. He betrays his entire code. He everything he stands for, everything who he is, everything he is, his person, his identity, he breaks all of a sudden because we find humanity in him. Why? Because a child's life is at stake. And all of a sudden, in a brief split second decision, which is what great movies and great characters are before or happen, you know, something happens that triggers in him, and he just cannot let that, it can't happen. He can't let it stand. So he kills this bounty hunter, the IG-11 character, whatever, and there's massive ramifications to come. And it's like, he's found his humanity. And like, you know, that even if, like, you know, nothing's changed yet, it's just like, it was such a great premise. And it's the first, especially that episode ends and he reaches to the child in the shadow. And it's like it's this real big kind of mythic kind of Star Wars thing. And I was like, wow, that's really fucking cool. And then they've done absolutely nothing with that. And it's not about any of that. And that's what I mean about story and plot. Like, story is like what a show or a movie is about, like what it's really about. Right. And for me, like, they set up this thing that, like, it's about someone who has no moral code or lives by a ruthless code of money and rules of these bounty hunters, breaks his code and betrays it for a child. So he will awaken some sort of humanity in that. And where does that take him? Like, what will that do to this person? And the show is completely disinterested in that. So it's about nothing. And so when I watch anything, I need something like, here's what it's about, the plot, it's about this thing, but what's it really about? I need both. And this show feels like it doesn't have either.
Yeah, there you have it. That is a pretty big dressing down of the show, and I don't think it's completely unwarranted. But that was the reason why we have you here, Rodrigo, is because you agree with me. But I think we have two guys that might not. So, Brian, what were your thoughts on Mando season one?
I guess
he's changing his mind. He's changing it.
Because really, Rodrigo, you really hit the nail on the head in so many ways. The thing about season one is that I remember being incredibly excited.
Yes.
When Disney Plus launched, I remember just this is going to be great. I know what I'm going to be doing here as soon as the streaming service is off the ground. And I remember watching the first few episodes, and then I didn't watch the rest for a very, very long time. I just had no real interest because it really fell into that formula pretty darn quick. That being said, a lot of the episodes are pretty exciting. They are very episodic. They are very self-contained. Yes, they do have, he goes to this planet, meets somebody, they have a mission for him. He does the mission, that whole thing. But the missions that he does are always very, very cool. Some supporting characters are better than others. And when I say better, I mean some of them are absolutely outstanding. I mean, I know you asked me about the first season, but the second season, I think Tim Oliphant was outstanding. And there's others that I'm forgetting as well. But you're right, Rodrigo. The circling back to other characters, other side characters, again, a few episodes down the line, the show is very, very good at falling back, into its old habits. Just when you feel like maybe it's going somewhere, it's not going to. You know that the next episode is just going to be about him going somewhere else and embarking on some little side quest. And I was just thinking this afternoon, like, well, how is this going to end eventually? How many seasons is this going to be of him just roaming around the galaxy, yeah, just doing stuff? I definitely need more. Season one, when I finally did go back and finish it, yeah, there were some of those final episodes were just great, but I could already tell if this is how season two is going to be, I'll keep watching it, but I'm not going to be as jazzed as I was before I fired up the very first episode. So do I enjoy it? Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's fun, and I will say that it's so far removed from the Skywalker saga in terms of tone, and that Bonanza in space comparison is really right on. I really like the vibe of the show, and
the tone and atmosphere is great, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. I have to remind myself sometimes that it is Star Wars, and I'm not just exaggerating. There are moments where it's like, wow, what? This is a classic Western, and then suddenly somebody will show up, or I'll see a stormtrooper, or you'll hear someone firing some weapon, and oh yeah, that's right, that's where we are.
Or that Wilhelm scream.
Yeah. yes. And so I really do dig that overall, and I think just after being so disappointed by Rise of Skywalker, I was ready for something different. And this, in that sense, I guess I will say that even if this show ends up being its own little, Star Trek style adventure every single episode from here on out, I'll still take that over a lot of the core Skywalker saga films, because a lot of those films I just flat out don't care for, like the last one. So season one definitely had its moments. Season two, kind of in the same boat. I'm curious to see where this is going. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Mike, they need some love. Come in here and tell us how much you love Mandalorian.
I'm not going to let you guys come in here and drop a bunch of Bantha crap.
No!
Mandalorian. Get you right in the... I'm done with my Star Wars slang. But Mandalorian. Okay, so in my opinion, you're all right in a way, but a lot of the things that make you dislike it are things that make me, love it and like it even more. So, yes, it's a vehicle that kind of allows us to see a new adventure within the Star Wars universe, and it's like you said, it's so far removed, Brian, from the Skywalker mythos, and that's something that I'm so fucking glad that they did that, because the whole like Joseph Campbell hero's journey, if I get one more Star Wars episode with that, I'm just gonna tear my freaking ears off. And so to see that there's no dyads, there's no like crazy weird stuff going on that I really don't care for, it doesn't need to be that. And it doesn't need to be like modern serialized storytelling. They have plenty of Star Wars shows that are going to be that, I'm sure. But I like that they went old school with it. I like that it's it's episodic in nature. You know, it has gunslinger archetype, you know, lead to the story, and he allows us to kind of venture into all these unexplored nooks and crannies that we may have heard of, you know, with one line spoken in the original trilogy, or, you know, it adds color to the places we've seen. And yes, admittedly, it's like a nostalgia bomb, and it's like tone poems dedicated to, you know, past movies and stuff like that, or past moments in movies. But it kind of gives us that feeling that the original trilogy gives us at times. So the tone and everything is just spot on for me. I love like being in a Mandalorian episode. And it's exploring it through new eyes, finally, instead of like a Skywalker or someone who chooses to be a Skywalker for no fucking reason. It's, you know, old school episodic television, and the, you know, the overarching B story moves a lot slower. It's a long and winding road to where we're going, but how much you enjoy The Mandalorian seems to be kind of dependent on how much you enjoy the stops and the winding roads, and how much you're willing to roll with a character that is largely a rehash of like a tight-lipped gunslinger samurai type from films of old that kind of influenced Lucas as he was creating the original trilogy. But I really love it. I like the relationship between Mando and the child. I love the humanizing of Mando. Why they call him Mando when there's so many Mandalorians, I don't know. I can't answer that, but that's not Star Wars. You know, Star Wars isn't logic. We're not going to Star Wars for award-winning storytelling. It's a lot of it is rehashing of old archetypes. So that's not stuff that I'm really concerned with. It's big budget fantasy sci-fi on a TV scale that we can watch together and enjoy. And these days, like the large budget, you know, sci-fi story, like what else is doing that right now? Stranger Things is the closest thing to it. And even that, there's like a very hard age cutoff that you don't want certain kids watching that stuff, but really a whole family can enjoy this. So okay. Yes, it's itching that nostalgia bone for mom and dad, or if it's their thing. And then, you know, you're going on all these new adventures for new generations. And of course, there's Baby Yoda, who is admittedly one note, but that note is fucking adorable. Sorry for all the swears. But it's able to be like nostalgic and new at the same time. And I just love being in, you know, the kind of aura that this show creates. I love the little adventures. I was talking to Charles about the Bryce Dallas Howard episodes in the little farm town, and the newest one she did this season. Those are probably my two favorite episodes, are the ones that she directed. But as far as the story, I mean, it's nothing new. It's Lone Wolf and Cub meets, you know, all these different Westerns that influenced Lucas, and, you know, a little bit of Indiana Jones, a little bit of everything along the way. And then you have Mandalorian. So, yeah, it's nothing original, but it is kind of new in that it's in the Star Wars universe, and everybody loves the Star Wars universe. So that's why it's such a hit. That and Baby Yoda is freaking adorable. So I'm all for it. I'm really enjoying the episodic nature of it. Some episodes are obviously more solid than others. Peyton Reed sucks. But outside of that, you know,
some shade.
Yeah. It's a good time for me.
Okay. So I'm not going to go into season one thoughts specifically. I'm going to use this as a transition into season two, because my thoughts about the show are kind of the same between both seasons. And I think we are both kind of all of us were teasing this, because unfortunately, season one, like Rodrigo said, started really strong, I believe. This idea of the lone gunman saves a child, even though it's a premise we've seen a million different times. I think that seeing it in Star Wars is new, because there wasn't a Jedi, there wasn't a lightsaber, you know, there was no dyad, as Mike was saying. This is something new, you know, and it felt new. And then to see it stall out was heartbreaking. And not only did it stall out, it felt like it purposefully stalled out. We got to keep in mind, this is a show that runs 8 episodes a season. And normally in TV terms, when you run 8 episodes a season, and these shows are all less than an hour, these episodes are, that means that you're cramming, like seemingly cramming a lot into a little. You know, we've seen that with the last season of Game of Thrones was like 6 episodes, and that thing moved like lightning quick. And to see a show,
it was better for it?
No. But I'm just saying, there was so much story and so much plot in those 6 episodes that it, when you watch The Mandalorian, it's almost as if Jon Favreau and Lucasfilm, they had maybe 3 hours worth of story in that first season, and just were like, okay, well, how can we pad this out? Well, let's just do this bonanza thing, right? Let's have them go to different cities and we'll introduce these B characters. Some of them will be hits, some of them won't, but you know, they're only in an episode anyway. And the biggest offender in the first season, I think, is that Bryce Dallas Howard episode we were talking about, Mike. The sanctuary.
Bite your tongue.
I know. In that episode, it is just like, okay, Mando and the kid are on this backwoods sort of town. They have a raider problem. Mando goes and he saves the town from the raiders, teaches them how to defend themselves. It's a premise that in a show that we've already, you know the premise of, and we've seen it in Westerns and samurai movies, as we said, this one episode was another trope filled episode of other things. You know, it had like a training montage and stuff. And I will admit, I like almost fell asleep during that episode. And that's not the only time during my watching of this show that I've started to doze off. So moving into season 2, I had low hopes. And unfortunately, season 2, I think, starts with 2 episodes that are pretty terrible. Timothy Oliphant's great, but guess what? He's playing a Western Marshall guy. We've seen it like a million different times. So if you've seen
Timothy Oliphant for that.
I know. It felt like the most obvious casting ever. So we see that in the first episode. He's teased as Boba Fett, right? Because he's wearing Boba Fett's armor. And then, you know, that whole mystery is thrown out the window after 20 seconds when he takes off the mask. So, you know, it feels completely silly. that whole like side plot of Mando trying to save a town from a sandworm. And you know, that's a forgettable episode. The second episode, Peyton Reed. Oh, Lord, the frog lady episode was terrible. And then, you know, episodes 3 and 4, you start to get a semblance of a story. But overall, I'm not seeing any story. So, with that in mind, I think it's time that we talk about season 2, because I think season 2 is the best and the worst of The Mandalorian, right? There's some high points, some really good B characters that I think, you know, get people excited, but then there's just all those same like treading water moments where you're like, what are we doing here? I know, Rodrigo, you said that there's no story here. There's a bunch of plot, but there's really no story. Even after the first 4 episodes of season 2, do you still feel that there's really no story?
For sure. Oh, for sure. Like, there's none yet has merged. Maybe that something coming down the road, maybe that him meeting with the, there's something, they're hinting at some kind of stuff that, which I suppose can resemble story, like who he is and who he is as a person and as a Mandalorian and as we've, you know, witnessed. And I think it was episode 3 or 4, whichever one it was of the second season where, he met other Mandalorians. I thought that episode was really bad.
Oh, wow.
Man, crapping on my favorite episodes.
So dull. and look, I know Bo-Katan from Clone Wars. Like all these cameos that, like, you know, I will get into it, I suppose. But like, you know, season 2 has been teased as having a lot of cameos from the animated shows, and I know the animated shows very well. I caught up with them pretty late out after the fact. But anyhow, so, you know, on the surface, it's kind of like, ooh, it's exciting. I get to see these characters in live action for the first time. That's really cool. But then it plays out and it's like, oh, it's like, you know, maybe that's sort of, I'll just say it, because I think that, like, you know, the fact that he met other Mandalorians to take off his mask and there was that whole thing there. I think they're moving towards a way for him to take off his mask so he can actually emote for once. And actually, that's when we're going to get into the humanity, because he can't. And he can't emote and he can't share anything. And there's real, that's a real problem for the show.
So just to jump on to that real quick, because I wrote in my notes as I was watching the second season, especially, but definitely through the first, the fact he doesn't take off his helmet And they give you plenty of reasons why, and it is brought up dozens of times, like, oh, you don't take off your helmet, not even to eat. Who's seen you? Blah, blah, blah. What it does is it feels like a video game. If you ever play like an RPG video game or an action video game, the main character is always kind of this blank slate. So you can, like, you know, put your own ideals and stuff onto this character, right? Like, it's normally the most boring character. And Mandalorian, Mando in The Mandalorian, Din Djarin, whatever his name is the most boring character, yeah, because you can't see his face. You can't his line delivery. Pedro Pascal plays him, who Pedro Pascal is a great actor. He's done so many good things. Game of Thrones, he stole that season he was in briefly. You know, this is a guy who has it in him to do really good. And it feels like literally like he's phoning it in because of the voice modulation. He could be doing this via cell phone, and I wouldn't even like consider that to be crazy. Like, there's nothing behind those line reads. There's no emotion. There's like, hey, Baby Yoda, don't do that. I told you not to do that. Oh, that is the way. Like, that's I think, actual Jon Favreau dialogue.
That is currently the way.
Yeah. And so I agree with you, Rodrigo. I just it frustrates me to no end that you cannot see his face. And I do think that they're going towards that. But I do – we'll get to predictions later. But I definitely have predictions.
Sure, yeah. But, I mean, I guess just to finish my thought, it just seems like this whole season, like, you know, Ahsoka Tano from the – Clone Wars and Rebels is supposed to show up. She's probably going to show up in the next episode because it's directed by Dave Filoni, and he was the guy who was basically George Lucas's right hand man and all those stuff. So if anybody's going to introduce Ahsoka Tano in live action, it's probably Dave Filoni. He basically co-created that character with George Lucas. She is Darth Vader's Padawan, Anakin Skywalker's Padawan. I don't know if you guys watch that show. The whole concept, a lot of these things before you hear, when you read about some of the shows and you go like, what the fuck? Like, they sound terrible. And admittedly, many of them aren't that good at first, but when they get going and they're good and it's like, okay, this stuff is well explained, but the whole thing just sort of feels now like is this whole an entire season of like setting up things? Like, now there's talk of a Boba Fett show, like, because we've teased Boba Fett and like that he survived, and like, okay, so then we got Bo-Katan, and you know, we can do something else there. Is that something setting something else up? And like, is there a show about Ahsoka Tano coming and her adventures, which could easily happen because given all the stuff that happens with her? And it's like, is our eyes on the prize here? Or are we just setting up spinoffs and more franchises, more IP? What are we doing here? Like, I'm getting frustrated, and I'm finding it really transparent and really hollow. And everything that you said about like what makes it fun and entertaining and the atmosphere and mood, which I think, when you guys were saying that, I completely agree, but also that stuff is just like completely worn off for me now. It's like it, and now I just see this sort of like hollow show with like people walking around in silly costumes. Like the mystique of it is really gone. So I'm just like, what are they doing here? You know, obviously the Moff Gideon character with his stuff that ties into some of the Clone Wars stuff too, and Clone Wars other characters. And I get that Dave Filoni, you know, I guess to back up a slightly, and I'm trying to go on this tangent quickly, but, you know, like when Charles talked about this, he talked about it as Jon Favreau created it, and he did. But one of the first things he did when he created it was bring Filoni on board, because Filoni essentially created the Mandalorian lore on those animated shows with George Lucas. And Favreau actually appeared as a Mandalorian in a small voiceover role. So it sort of made sense that if you're going to do a show about Mandalorians, you would bring your biggest Star Wars expert along with you, Dave Filoni. And fine. I think that was a smart move. Dave Filoni, kind of makes sense that he probably want to take some of these beloved animated characters and take them into live action. But the writing is just so clunky. It just feels like every episode is one introduction for, you know, these guest stars. And there's like, you know, it's like fan service on a sort of more culty level or something. And God, I love all those characters and I love all that stuff. And on some levels, I want to see all those characters come on, but I'm just like, I'm not enjoying this.
You mentioned Moff Gideon and the side characters and where is this all going? It reminds me of a quote that Giancarlo Esposito said to people before season two. And we wrote about it on the site. And this quote, I think, really explains a lot. And I'm going to throw it to you, Brian, afterwards, because I want to know your reaction. He says, We're living in a universe that is huge and there's so much to explore. So I think this show is going to lay the groundwork for the depth and breadth that's going to come in seasons three and four, when you're really going to start to get answers. So, Brian, are you willing to wait until season three to find out where this show's going?
Well, I'm too far in at this point that I can't walk away.
Turn back now.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, I just feel like, you know, the eye on the prize comment is really right on the money. I worry that the show is going to fall into a Lost style trap of not having an ending in mind. Any showrunner who I hear says, yeah, we've got a couple of seasons planned out for this show, and then we know how it's going to end. I'm always very curious to see, okay, are you going to make good on that promise? And when the ending finally does arrive, how well is that going to satisfy me? And I just feel like with this show, future seasons, you know, either we need to, I don't know. It's hard to say. I'll keep watching the show and I'll be curious. I guess not necessarily excited as I was at the beginning, but more curious to see where this goes. I will definitely watch this till the bitter end, but they got to do something at some point. It can't just be a show that's all about the tone and the occasional really, really good side character. I mean, they definitely, like you said, they need to do so much more with Pedro Pascal. I mean, really, that is kind of a waste of talent there. And I will admit that there are some lines he says that make me chuckle, like when he and the child were working together to, like, fix that thing on his ship. Like, that was kind of amusing in one of the recent episodes. But they got to do more with him. And, yeah, maybe when the helmet comes off, then we'll see it. But I think that'll help? Question mark? I don't know. I don't know. This is very rambly, but the show still does have potential. I will say there's a lot more that can happen here. But yeah, Rodrigo, if this is just going to be a springboard for spinoffs, then I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I don't think ultimately it will be, but I think there's going to be a lot of this season, and then it doesn't really get to what it's going to be about till season three or four or whatever. So it's going to be spinning its wheels a lot, you know, and then probably what it is moving towards. And it seems kind of obvious is that, like, the whole, you know, the Mandalorian culture thing, which is what the other Mandos around, you know, him probably taking off the mask, realizing that the faction that he was part of is a cult. And then, like, you know, this whole thing with the Darksaber with that Moff Gideon guy, which also ties into Mandalorian lore, and all that stuff comes from the animated shows. So it seems with Filoni on board that that's probably where it's all heading. But I still don't know if that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. That's the problem is you see a Darksaber at the end of season one and you're like, oh, this is really neat. But he's whipped it out zero times in season two. I mean, I think he's only had one scene in season two. So, like, that's a problem, right? Like, you tease something, you get me hooked, you say, okay, yeah, we were spinning our wheels in season one, but look at this. Holy crap, Darksabers. Moff Gideon's like the new Darth Vader's is gonna be nuts. And then season one,
things mean though, right? Like, really mean. Like, yeah, okay, I get when I see the Darksaber, I go, oh, that connects to Star Wars Rebels character was probably gonna show up at some point, and that connects to the lore and this and tie these things together. But, like, so, but what are you really, like, are you trying to say something about legacy? Like, just give me nourish me with a little bit of depth, something. Like what are you gonna try to say about this character, this human being, you know? Like, that's missing, you know?
I agree. I think it's all very surface, right? So, like, Giancarlo Esposito plays Moff Gideon, and I defy you, Mike, because I'm going to throw it to you, to tell me how Moff Gideon differs from Gus Fring from Breaking Bad. Like, is there a discernible difference, or did they hire Giancarlo Esposito and just say, like, okay, just do you, you know? Like, are these guest stars, like, really adding anything?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you how he's different. He's Space Gus, and that is fine with me. That is totally fine. But I think you guys have...
And we don't know that he owns any chicken restaurants.
That's true. But he's got, you know, some kind of weird space animal that he definitely deep fries. listening to all this, I'm thinking a lot of you have expectation problems. you're throwing all these expectations of what it should be versus what it actually is. And I think a lot of your problems derive from the expectations of what you think it ultimately should be about, or that it should have, you know, this character doing this, or it should move faster, or should move this. Really, you just got to judge it on your own terms. I was very, to be completely honest, the first few episodes I watched, I was very confused by the pace of it, the overall kind of lack of lead character, you know, kind of a dynamic performance, basically. But after I went back and kind of rewatched all the episodes prior to this, I'm really on board with what they're doing. I think it is absolutely not meant to be this like all out Skywalker action story where the plot is constantly moving forward and characters are constantly like, you know, at their wit's end. But I think it's for what it is, which is like this kind of way to have all these little side adventures within the Star Wars universe. That's fine with me. I don't care, honestly. If it hasn't been in a live action film, I don't really care. The cartoons are fine with me. I can never really get the nostalgia out of them that I have for, you know, the live action stuff that even some of the sequels had their moments for, and prequel trilogy. I mean, they have a lot of things that are wrong with them, but they still have that Star Wars-y nostalgia to them at times. And I just don't get that out of the cartoons. I know there's a lot of good, you know, characters and stuff that come from them. And the ones that have shown up in the stories have been fine by me, but I'm not like chomping at the bit to see certain details from, you know, their backstories played out on live action. So I'm just enjoying
care.
I just wonder, so you mentioned that this isn't a show with a plot that's aiming to move forward at a decent pace, which I think is ludicrous, but I think every show should aim to have a story that moves along at a decent pace. But if we follow what you were saying, and this is a show that's going to show different sides of Star Wars, why is it called The Mandalorian? Why not just Lucasfilm make a series of short films? No, but I'm serious here. Like, why not have a short film about Bo-Katan and her quest for the Darksaber? Why not have a short film about Cara Dune on Navarro trying to clean up the streets?
Right.
Why not have a short film about Timothy Oliphant?
Seeing is just like cool things that you haven't seen before. Then just do an anthology thing with just like focusing on one character and like doing that.
You're saying, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? But you're not judging the show by itself.
Well, we are, because we're saying that there's no story. That's the problem. If you give us a story like what we said at the beginning, where the first episode presents this clear story. This is a bounty hunter living by his rules. He breaks his rules because of this kid. He's on the run from Werner Herzog. Like, that's a story, right? So, but it immediately detours and turns into something else, and it's almost like a sleight of hand thing. Like, we were looking over here, but really we should have been looking over here, because what we thought was a Mandalorian show is actually a, you know, a Lucasfilm machine that's going to pump out potential toys and spinoffs and $50 cookies from Williams-Sonoma and all these things that's actually happening, and that's a bummer.
I almost bought those today. I
don't know, Brian.
Please don't
spend $50 on the cookies.
I spent $6 on the New Mutants last week. Come on.
your buying habits are suspect.
I will admit, yes.
So I guess what I was getting at there is, if we're just going to talk about the fact that this isn't an anthology show, and that's why we don't like it, versus this is, you know, we'll take it on its own merits, whatever, you know, that's us kind of doing a Mandalorian and spinning our wheels. So I want to change this up and really talk about like this season in particular, because I think season two had a lot of promise. Even if you didn't like season one, it ended with that Darksaber reveal. It ended with Moff Gideon. And I think that maybe episode four of this, like halfway through a second season, we're getting a tease of what this story is going to be. So, Rodrigo, since, you know, you are more familiar with the cartoons and everything, do you think that this is going to change its ways, or are we in for another four episodes of spinning its wheels? And do you think Moff Gideon's actually going to be a big bad? Like, where is this going this season?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have how many? Are we four episodes in and
four
left?
Yeah.
So yep. That probably means two more filler of guest stars and then two more where things matter.
I think you're absolutely right. And you for the listeners, I do want to confirm Dave Filoni is writing and directing episode 5, which leads us all to believe that it's going to be the Ahsoka Tano episode. But that being said, I was talking with Mike about this earlier. The whole season so far is building to him bringing the child to the Jedi. That would be bringing him to the Jedi. So, you know, where's this going? Brian,
I mean, it's really, really hard to say. You are right that, I mean, we can see little touches of maybe getting back to that core story, but it's with everything that we've seen up to this point, I don't know. Where is it going? I can't say. I really can't. I will say that, you know, as cool as it might be to see these little teases like the dark saber, you know, seeing little like cameos here and there, seeing maybe a rather important character at the end of the first episode of the second season at the very end, pretty neat. But the show just can't be all about that. It can't be all about, you know, little pseudo fan servicey type stuff. And, you know, for that reason, if that's what we can expect for the rest of the season, then as cool as it might be, and as much as I might geek out for a second or two, that's going to wear off rather quick, and I'm going to want more. So at this point, I just want something different, either, you know, getting back to the core and staying there for at least a little while, or I don't know, just something different. I don't know. And I'm not saying that the show needs to be completely different. It doesn't need to suddenly turn into a show all about the Force and stuff like that. I will say that episode where he's talking to the X-Wing pilots and they say, you know, may the Force be with you, I that was another one of those reminders, oh yeah, this is a Star Wars show. Okay.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing for you though?
It was just unusual, I guess, because I was getting very used to it not being like that. So that's why seeing like the darksaber was kind of interesting. That's why like I enjoyed Rogue One so much, because it shed a lot of those overall mythology and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. Where is it going? I can't answer that right now, obviously, because I don't know, but also because it could go in so many different directions. And I feel in a way it's almost walking on eggshells around people like us, at least the three of us. but you know, I definitely feel like it is kind of doing that with, you know, people who do have, like you said, Mike, those expectations, and one false move, and you know, it could be some very, very dark times for the Mandalorian. I don't know why it's called the Mandalorian now that you've mentioned that. I don't know. I was thinking about that, and maybe that's something we'll find out at the very end. I don't know.
He was never a Mandalorian all along. No, that's not my official prediction, by the way. Mike, do you think we're back on track to an A plot, or are we going to meander a bit more?
I mean, obviously this next one is going to be the Ahsoka Tano intro episode. So I'm not entirely sure what it's going to be. I know Baby Yoda's not going anywhere. It's not like he's going to drop Baby Yoda and just kind of go on Mando adventures on his own. I think the two are kind of inseparable from the show at this point. So whatever it is, whether,
you know, can't end here, even though this is supposedly be the end point, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously there's something that's going to drive the two to stay together and continue on to wherever it is. But
wait. You want to tell me that there's going to be a Mandalorian episode where he goes and meets somebody new, thinks he's found a place for Baby Yoda, finds out it's not all cracked up to what it's supposed to be. He then has to have an adventure, grab the kid, and leave?
Yeah, that's if they crazy hadn't shot chapter 13 at this point, I'd say you should go pitch that. but pretty sure that's what we're going to see. But and I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't really mind the winding kind of plot. I definitely agree where it has some shortcomings that you're pointing out here, but I'm enjoying it. I'm not it hasn't worn off me. So, you know, keep going. As far as I'm concerned, keep doing these long winding like offshoots. Get to the B plot towards the end of the season like you did last time in the last two episodes. I don't care, that's fine.
You are
not like
easy
we're not
going to
have five it's not like we're not going to have like six seasons eventually of this to go through at a time.
See, I to get into my thoughts on where this is all going, and I sadly, I think we all know where it is going. Like Rodrigo succinctly said, two episodes of filler, two episodes of matter. But what I really hope is that this is actually like the sneaky end of The Mandalorian. And the series ends at the end of this season. I'm not even joking.
Oh.
With him finding a place for Baby Yoda and sacrificing himself, like physically dying so that he can protect Baby Yoda. And then what seasons three and on are is the Boba Fett show that they've been talking about. No. Or
Baby Yoda puts on the helmet and then he is the Mandalorian. I just sold it, guys.
That's
can I say legitimately that got me a little excited. What you just said.
Lord.
You just want to see his floppy ears outside of a helmet.
That would be really
it's so cute. That's the cutest thing ever.
Like, what were you saying, Rodrigo?
Well, I was just gonna say, like, I mean, that would be awesome. I think I even have predicted that to someone. I did. I think I gave that exact prediction to Peter from Slash Film, I think, as a possibility. Like, what if? I don't know. I am too cynical to think that they'll do that. But it would show that something sort of was at stake, right? Like what's at stake right now? Like, what are the stakes in the show? Like, nothing.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Baby Yoda could eat something bad.
Yeah, it'll finally eat poison.
Yeah. And then we're all out of our Baby Yoda miseries.
I think that's a good prediction in that you would really surprise audiences, and then you could think of it as an anthology show in a way, in that it's about different Mandalorians. So, you know, the next you could off him and him doing a great sacrifice would tie in perfectly to the actual thing that they've set up, and it would actually have an amazing payoff. I would love to see it for that kind of story. And then you could potentially do that where you set up and it's like season three is actually about Boba Fett's story, and then you could do
Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan in four, and it would be about different Mandalorian people, right? But
I'm on board for that too.
So the thing about Bo-Katan I really liked is that whole episode, I think, gave us so much more information about Mando, our Mando, than we've gotten in, 12 other or 11 other episodes? Her talking about the religious cult and he's a zealot and, you know, he may have been taught the wrong thing. I want to see and how she's going to try to take the throne with the Darksaber. Like, all of those things, that's a show I'll watch. And so and we were teased with the Boba Fett thing in the first episode of season two. So I think you're onto something. Love to see, like I said, Boba Fett season three. You know, let's catch up to where he is, because guess what? He's not coming back this season, guys. I hate to break it to you. This is a one and done sort of situation. That was a tease. And
Boba Fett's not coming back this season. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does he
so disappointing?
Fan service for something else, which is like, I don't need that wink. You know, like I don't. As much as I love these sort of things, I don't. You know, patronize me with weak shit. Like I love these things, so I kind of demand like real storytelling from me. I want some substance. Where was I gonna go with that? But you know what? Here's what the thing. I think that's a great idea. Like that you sort of posited, and I sort of went off on it a little bit. And you could do this kind of almost kind of Game of Thrones, which he sort of teased as well, Jon Favreau, about you know doing this and this. But here's why I don't think that they're gonna do it. And I think I've had this conversation with you, Charles, is that it's just like Star Wars doesn't take any risks ever.
That's true. I was just going to ask that. When have they ever taken a risk?
Right. They just never take risks. And that's why at the end of the last Spider-Man movie in Marvel, like they were like, you know, they Spider-Man's identity got like revealed to the world in this kind of shocking, like, holy shit, they've never done that before. That's a huge thing. That's a really big risk to take with your characters. I feel like Marvel does those kinds of things all the time. Like there's a lot, they killed off Iron Man. They do take risks. I know these things are small, but I think that's why they've kept audiences on their toes too. You know, and people are constantly engaged by those things. And I'm not saying Marvel's the be all end all, but it's sort of like for franchises, and you know, we're on a big franchise level here. I think, you know, they're at the top of the game for a reason, right? They keep people on their toes. They do some surprises. They do some unexpected things, and Star Wars just does that at all. So that, for that reason, and they never take a risk. I don't see it. I mean, it would be amazing, but this show already feels too safe, too predictable. None of the writing feels dangerous or shaky or risky at all. So
Has Star Wars ever felt dangerous though?
Not dangerous. I just meant like risky, like, you know, like just some sort of like something that like.
We're talking the franchise that has Luke, I'm your father. Like that is a huge moment. I mean,
that's the biggest twist, you know, in history. But yeah, outside of that moment, that's
Han Solo quote unquote dying at the end of a movie.
God damn it! Fine.
I don't know about that one, but anyhow,
No, I'm talking about the end of Empire, right? Like
Solo.
Well, jeez. Don't get me started on Solo.
Just because it hasn't traditionally taken some risks doesn't mean that it shouldn't. And just because it's been
I agree.
And just because it's been maybe safe and I mean the first I don't know. I don't want to get into like what's good and what's bad about Star Wars because we'll be here forever. But like, you know, I think to survive you do have to take risks in storytelling in general to keep audiences on their toes. You can't just explore a different planet or a different world that you've never quote unquote seen before. But when you really get down to it, it's like, is this all the stuff that we've seen? Is this really, really all that different than like the back door of the Tatooine Mos Eisley? Like you could call that one planet they're always on like Mos Eisley, and like, you know, it's just the gangster world or whatever. It's everyone keeps saying it's all so different. It's like, not really. It's just like, instead of like, you know, leaving Tatooine and Mos Eisley on a New Hope, it's like you stay there and then you hang out with some of those shady characters. It's like, I'm not impressed by how supposedly different that's supposed to be, you know, maybe for a few episodes, but then after that, it's like, okay, I know what you're doing here. So I don't know. I'd like to see some sort of like shakeup.
I agree. Obviously,
I'd love to see it too, but I don't think that's coming.
No. Yeah. And I think that's a good transition to my last little question. I'm going to pause it to you guys, which is, this is the first Disney Plus Lucasfilm series, right? So this is kind of setting the stage for Star Wars on TV and or live action Star Wars on TV, I should say. And I think it's obviously a hit, nominated for a bunch of Emmys. They're throwing 100 million per season at this, like it's a big deal. So the other shows that they've announced are Obi-Wan, which again can't expect many risks there, Cassian Andor. Okay, probably we've literally seen that character before, probably not in a lot of risks there. And then Leslie Headland has a show which we don't know anything about, which she swears is different and something we haven't explored. So now that we've been through 12 episodes of Mandalorian, are you guys excited for those shows? Well, I'll throw it to Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm the one who's in the bag for all this, but I think it bodes well for the future of Star Wars TV in that there's so much to mine in terms of settings and types of stories that you can tell within the Star Wars universe. I mean, they've done the Magnificent Seven, they've done a little Kurosawa, they've done Sergio Leone, you know, a little Mad Max, Indiana Jones. Like I was saying, I mean, to me, that's all fine, but ultimately, I want them to all have their unique identity. I don't want it to be like, okay, here's Mandalorian but with different characters or whatever it might be. So I want them all to have their I want the Mandalorian to be the only one that is like the Mandalorian. I want the other shows to have a different pace, different kind of character structure, and you know, anything. I just want them to be within the Star Wars universe. So I don't have much in the way of expectations. I don't need and I have varying levels of interest for all those shows you just listed, yes, I'll watch them, but I'm just along for the ride. I'll check them out. Why not?
So Obi-Wan in a multicam sitcom?
That is what I'm talking about.
That's what I thought. As long as it's, you know, staying true. Brian, are you excited for this slate of TV shows?
I can't really disagree with anything that Mike has said.
I need to get him a t-shirt.
Yeah,
I know. I just agree way too much.
I'm thinking back over the shows you met. Yeah. No, I want that too. I want what Mike said as well. I want each show to have its own unique feel.
Do you believe that Lucasfilm has it in them to give you a unique show?
I don't know. I don't know. I will say definitely there's a decrescendo in terms of like I'm more excited for the Obi-Wan show than, you know, than the Cassian Endor show, and you know it just diminishes from there. That said, yeah, I'm still in the bag for all this. I will still happily watch all these shows. At the very least, I'll give them all a decent shot. I would love to see things get so off the wall bananas. I think there is a real potential for that. And I think the best storytellers and showrunners have that ability to be very chameleon-like and adapt in that sense. I mean, I would love to see a show that's like in a very like, I don't know, cyberpunk type vein or a steampunk type vein or something. I don't even know. Like there's
Obi-Wan?
So
is
many
that
different
we're talking about
angles. That, sure. Yeah. I would just get crazy, but you know, like you said, the powers that be, I mean, are they going to, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, like that's, I think what they're after right now. The vast majority of people absolutely love what this show is selling them. And no, I don't think that they're going to go crazy anytime soon. And I wish they would. I really do. Because at that point, I'd be even more Jones. But right now, I'm in. I'll keep watching these things till my last breath. But yeah,
that's I can say right now. They have us. No matter what, they have us.
What the future has in store. That's not a Star Wars quote, but it felt like it should be one.
With John Williams score behind you.
Yes.
Rodrigo, yes. John Favreau has proven, I think, to me and you at least, and maybe a little bit Brian, that a good filmmaker doesn't automatically mean good TV. So I know Obi-Wan has Deborah Chow. Cassian Andor, I don't know who the showrunner is this week, but Leslie Headland is on, she's coming from Russian Doll, which is a pretty shocking show to then go to Star Wars. And she seems actually pretty nerdy about it. So with those people behind these shows, has Mandalorian soured you on any of them? Are you still jazzed? What are your thoughts?
Well, in terms of when they think, you know, that they have us and they can do no wrong, I think that's true to an extent. And it's also not, because remember, they came off their most biggest bomb before this. They pivoted television because they failed and they fell on their face flat with Solo. And Solo was a huge bomb. Like, I mean, if you ever, Box Office Mojo doesn't really exist anymore. But if you ever wanted to do a fun kind of like deep dive into like how other films did and compare it to that and what, you know, Solo did, it was a real fucking sting, and it was a real, you know, come to Jesus moment for this company. And then they took everything that they were planning on doing in movies and they pivoted to television, right? And it happened so that Disney Plus was becoming a thing. So it was a pretty perfect timing. But, you know, there was no Disney Plus and it wouldn't have been ready and they'd have to do these things in movies, we'd be in a very much different situation right now. And I think people forget that Solo situation happened. So, you know, they pivoted to TV and now this thing's a big hit and people love it and stuff. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. But in terms of, I'm going to watch those shows. I'm going to be excited for them. I mean, the one I'm probably excited for the most is Cassian Andor, because Tony Gilroy is back, and he's sort of he is the showrunner. He's also working with like two of his close pals who are terrific fucking writers. It's him writing the show with Bo Willimon, who was the showrunner
of Cards.
House of Cards. He also did Ides of March and he did a bunch of like acclaimed plays, and he is a very good writer. And also his brother, Dan Gilroy, who did Nightcrawler. Those are the three writers on the show. I'm assuming it's going to, do a lot of the sort of you know, kind of the, you know, I guess it's, we don't even know if the show's necessarily like, it's not necessarily just a Cassian Andor show, because we know it is Vade and all that stuff, but it's like, I think it's like, you know, more about, you know, I think it's going to be more Rogue One-ish, which I really like Rogue One, but Rogue One giving it a full shot and a full chance, because Tony Gilroy had to like clean up that movie and didn't generate it from scratch. So it's going to be kind of like about, you know, the period of, I think it's going to be like a Life During Wartime show, like, you know, about the desperation of war and losing friends and losing allies and how tough war can be, you know, and grind that out for like two or three seasons and then, you know, the end or whatever, like, and then it'll catch up to where Rogue One was, but it'll be a more serious adult kind of drama and about the cost of war and things, because those are the things that he won, that he, you know, he's an adult and he's, that's the kind of stuff that he had already applied to Rogue One, and that's what that show is going to be about, and I'm totally on board for that. That'll make me very, very happy. The other ones, I mean, I think Obi-Wan could be awesome, but I don't think they'll let it be awesome, because to me, that's a lost in the wilderness story. It's almost an existential story. It's about a guy who really, like, what does he do? He sits on a planet for 18 years and does fucking nothing. It's about his commitment, right? It's about, like, I am going to do nothing with my life, and I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch this boy, and I'm going to make sure that nothing happens to him, because, you know, one day he's the fucking key to, you know, getting over this fucking it would be as a Donald Trump, you know, won and then, like, you know, it's decided I'm gonna do 3 terms, 4 terms, 5 terms. It's a total dictatorship in a dark fucking period of time, right? It's really horrible, but he knows that, you know, if he holds it out, maybe this prophecy is gonna hold true, and Luke who could turn into something. So it's really about that commitment thing, but, you know, they're going to jazz it up with, like, something, like, you know, obviously something's going to have to happen.
I was about to say, this is Lucasfilm. So it's going to be, well, you thought he was on this planet doing nothing this whole time. And, yeah, you know,
God, like, I will be physically angry if he leaves. Like, I will be like, if he goes on an adventure somewhere else, I'll be real, like, and be like, oh, Luke will be fine. I'll be furious like that. Like, it just ruins the myth of this man who is a monk, right? And who spent 18 years on a planet doing fucking nothing for the most part, right? And sure, like, you know, there's going to be some conflict here, because there needs to be conflict. But wouldn't it be great if they really dug into the story of this guy who, like, everything he's ever done his entire life is lost. And he's coming off the greatest loss, which is his Padawan, right? His like his younger brother, essentially. He's like, you were a brother to me, you know, like, that's like the one of the most painful moments in that terrible prequel. But, like, you know, this is like it, and so he's just coming off of this gigantic failure. Everything's, and so there's so much existential weight there. I don't know if they're going to do anything with that. To me, that's fucking super rich shit. Like, I'm like, here's my thing. I think I could write a better Obi-Wan show than they can. And that's sad. I should be able to. I should no way be able to write a better Obi-Wan show, but I think I probably could. And that's disappointing to me.
I like all these shows that you're describing, but I don't think any of these expectations are realistic. Because Star Wars,
but yeah, family, for sure. It's Star Wars, but I don't. It just because it's like, I don't know. It's not. It's. But then again, it's not really an expectation. It's just like I'm looking at character first, right? It's like, yeah, look at what this character is coming off of, and what kind of story they could tell, right? And then you have a conflict, and without spoiling it, they did set up this one great thing that could have been like the ultimate conflict coming down to get Luke, right? But they blew it and they used it on Star Wars Rebels.
I don't even know about it.
Right.
Yeah, you're speaking Greek.
I'm not going to tell you, because I think you should at least it's worth watching. It's really good, actually. But it's the perfect live action story. It's like, oh my God, this would be, and this would please fans, and it would actually be good too. But they blew it and they wasted it. So now they have to tell a different story of, I mean, like, what else can it possibly be? I mean, well, there's two things it can be. It can either be something threatens young Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan has to leave the hut or whatever, right? Because he's a monk, he's doing nothing, he's meditating, he shouldn't be doing anything, right? He's just like he's there to do nothing, essentially. Just watch over this boy. That's the task he's been given by Yoda. And so it's either like some kind of conflict comes and takes him out, which it'll be about, or it's, you know, he actually went and had other adventures and he left the planet, which would, to me, it's like, then that's the borderline when I'm actually almost shutting it off. I'm like, that to me is a fundamental betrayal of the character and the myth of what he did And it really that would really piss me off.
Okay, so you're saying if he exits the hut with a Hawaiian shirt on and he's heading on vacation, you're out.
Yeah, if he goes to like, oh, I'm just going to go to, you know, fucking Dantooine or whatever, because I've some distress signal that I've somehow gotten a hold of, you know, like, no, it should be a small scale stuck on Tatooine. I'm doing nothing in my and there's a sort of existential terribleness to that as well. Right. Like it's like coming off this complete failure and living with it. And then something has to like, you know, motivate him to what could else could it be about a sort of threat or conflict that could, you know, possibly touch upon a young Luke Skywalker.
See, you're missing this though. I've already written the opening scene and the moment when Rodrigo is going to turn off his TV, which is Obi-Wan sitting in his hut after 10 years or whatever, and then he gets a message on a droid and it says from some character we've never heard before saying, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope. And he has to get on a starship and fly to wherever. And then that's when Rodrigo turns off the TV.
Yeah.
You know it's going to happen.
I mean, it's not like might sound to maybe to Mike that this is what I'm like expecting. But I just
not
sort
at
of
all.
Like, just go honor the character, you know? That's all I'm kind of saying.
I think that's to kind of tie this all up, I think that's exactly what our issue is with Mandalorian. And I think there are probably 10% of the viewers, if I'm being generous, are have issues with it and want to talk constructively about it. And then there's probably 90% of viewers that are just like, Baby Yoda, man. Or like,
it's adorable.
Did you see Bo-Katan? Did you see Bo-Katan? Or, you know, oh, Ahsoka Tana is coming out, you know, like, that's just enough to tease people along to sell books and toys and t-shirts that I think expecting anything more from Lucasfilm at this point is just setting you up for failure.
Yeah, probably. And you know, I think, you know, even if they're on Disney Plus, at some point that's going to come back to hurt them. You know, at some point there's going to be a metric of like, you know, there's no box office failure, but if they can't engage people in a way, then they just can't just keep doing what you're saying and hoping that's going to please people and be enough.
Yeah. So just to wrap this up, I want to go to each of you now that we've thoroughly deconstructed Lucasfilm and The Mandalorian. Mike, I think I know the answer to this, but are you going to keep watching the rest of season 2 and beyond?
Of course. Yes, I'm in. I mean, I think you guys are really setting yourselves up for some real disappointment with all these future shows coming up, just because this is not what they're going to, you know, they're not going to take a risk with Star Wars. Yeah. And as long, especially while they're winning, you know.
But are they?
People
That's
are
the question.
Gobbling this stuff up. And I would love to see some of these adult prestige dramas that you're describing, but it's not going to happen. I would love to see them, but I really don't expect that.
The thing is, I'm not even asking for an adult drama. It's just like, just take it slightly more seriously, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Brian, are you in the bag for the rest of season 2 and moving on with Star Wars?
He's quit.
Yeah.
We've broken
He's
Brian.
He's done. We broke Brian.
No.
Let's talk about your Dumb and Dumber VHS.
We could. Or the novelization. Because I do have that.
Yes. Anyway, are you going to keep watching? Are you?
Yeah. No, I'll definitely keep watching. Because, again, I'll say that I'm the points of the show that are good are frequently great. And I still am entertained. I'm still having fun. Yeah, you know, Mike, I do have those expectations, and there are things I wish would happen, things I wish would be better. But at the end of the day, I'm still enjoying it. I'll take, you know, and I've even said this about just other movies that we've seen recently, that I'll, you know, the worst episodes of The Mandalorian are still so much better than so much other television out there. That I think just trumps everything. I'm having a good time. It's enough to keep me going to the next episode. There's always at least one thing I can take away from each episode, even the worst ones, that resonates with me in some way, whether it's some guest character that's great or the child doing something that's entertaining. There's always going to be something, always something, even if it's just some really cool shot. I mean, the visual effects in the show even not just for television standards, for just overall, I think are wonderful.
Yeah, that's a discussion for another time, though, because we could go. Yeah. I mean, the technology is pretty incredible, but yeah.
Can we
really
also
is.
Shout out the Mandalorian theme?
Ludwig the music Clark is great.
He does a fantastic job.
So, Rodrigo, the question we all want to know, have you abandoned The Mandalorian, or are you going to suffer through four more episodes and hope beyond all reasonable expectation that it's going to get good?
I mean, you know, obviously I'm going to watch it. I got to also say, you know, like I probably come off as a curmudgeon because I get pretty passionate about these things. But like, I think Baby Yoda is delightful and so enjoyable. And I love Baby Yoda, and I actually love the Peyton Reed episode. It's my favorite. It's like it was cute. It was funny. There's a lot of silly things with Baby Yoda. It was great. But then I just need more. Like, you can do all that stuff. That stuff's great. Cool. Do that shit. Entertain me too. I want to be entertained, and I am entertained by the show. But I also need both, you know? And I feel like that's what the best of Star Wars did. It gave me any great movie that gave me a little bit of everything, you know? Like, gave me like some heart and soul and some story and some plot and had the cool visuals and all that stuff. Yes, I love all that stuff, but I need more. So I guess back to the central question is that I'm not really expecting very much of the show anymore, probably going on into season two and beyond. My expectations are very low, but I'll just continue to watch it and probably enjoy what I can out of it. And that's it. And, you know, I hope that one of these shows eventually along the lines will be for me. I'll probably watch all of them. And there's a good chance that I'm not going to like some of them, and that's okay. You know, I think that they really need to break things up though. And just like everyone was talking about trying to like show something really different and doing different, like, you know, having different tones in different shows. They really need to lean into that. Because again, to me, this first was different, but it's kind of just most likely the flavor of that, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know what they could do? Just hire Kevin Feige. He'll fix it all, right?
He's got enough on his plate, man.
I know.
Don't be surprised when that happens.
I know. Rodrigo is, for those listening at home, Rodrigo is a big believer that Kevin Feige will be the next guy leading Star Wars.
He does love Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. He does.
And he's also developing one, remember?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who isn't, though, right? Like, are we ever going to see the Taika Waititi movie?
Taika Waititi is developing one. Kevin Feige's developing one.
The guy from Slight.
Not, right?
Who? I'm sorry?
The Game of Thrones guys are not anymore.
No. They got kicked out of Kurt.
Ryan Johnson was supposed to be, but I'm pretty sure that's dead.
Oh, very dead.
And was there another one?
The guy from Slight, J.D. I forgot his last name. Sorry.
J.D. Dillard, right?
Yes. Yeah. But his is supposed to go straight to Disney Plus.
Is it?
That's what they say. Really? But who knows? The moral of the story is we don't know anything about this.
Right. So there's actually a lot of stuff in the works, and hopefully it gets, you know, as distinct and different and tries to do. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I'm rooting for it. I really am. I do love these things at heart, but. I don't have a lot of faith for this show. You know, I think it's kind of is what
it's
it
run
is.
Run its course, huh?
Yeah.
It's kind of going to do this, and then, you know, the season three is going to be more a little bit of that, but it'll world build a little bit more with the, you know, of this sort of greater Mandalorian thing that they're doing. But it's still probably. I mean, they're not at this point. You ain't getting rid of Baby Yoda.
No,
you're not. Uh-huh. You're not handing him off. And any time soon.
And the good thing is he doesn't age out like most child actors. They're not going to have to replace him or go through the awkward teen phase.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would love if Charles is posit that, you know, he dies in the end and then becomes something else. That would be really cool, but seems doubtful.
Yeah. Oh my God. What are the odds that we see Teen Yoda, the series, after this is all done?
Oh,
yeah. They did that with Teen Groot or whatever. They're not going to. Yeah.
Only
I mean,
this,
well,
maybe
then
like
again,
Saved by the Bell, Groot. But in a galaxy far away.
Okay. All right. Now we've gone off the rails as we normally do.
Great idea.
So on that note, we'll just wrap it up and say thanks for listening. And thank you, Rodrigo, for joining us. Clearly, you are passionate about that. And that's why we wanted you on here.
Yes. I hope I didn't annoy anybody. I just
not at all.
I wanted to. But, you know, we'll see.
No, it's great. Well, there may be some people who fundamentally disagree with you, but
that's good.
I'm here.
Yeah. but yeah, and as always, thank you, Mike Bryan, for joining me and talking Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Because I'm saved by the Force. Could that work as a theme song? Could that work?
No.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Okay. Well, you can write that in your notebook of terrible ideas.
A little yacht to you to do it. I think you did the Saved by the Bell theme song.
Jeez. Yes. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a good one. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.